Friday, the 15th of January, Teves, Rabbi David Zahn, Makas Borod. Borod, hail.
It's very topical. Makas Borod. I thought it would be more topical. Baruch Hashem, it's not so topical.
Like a shelly.
There's a lot to talk about in Pashas Va'ira. All the Makas, and really on Seder night, you can't do justice to it, because, you know, there's so many things to talk about. By the time you get to the Esa Makas, you know, it's already the clock's moving and you've got to get a move on. So these are the Pashas where it's kedai to focus a bit more closely on those Makas, which one doesn't have time during the Seder. So Makas Borod. So you might say, why do I pick on Makas Borod? Because Makas Borod is an absolutely unique Makkah amongst all the other Makkahs. Because the Pasuk says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to come and warn Paroi about Makkah's Borod, the Pasuk says, Vayema Hashem al Moshe Hashkem Barbeke, Vizyasin Ifnei Paroi, Yomartul of Keo Ma'ashem al Ke'imrim Shalach Ezami Abduli, Ki Bapa Ma'azois, this time, this is before Makkah's Borod, and Nishalech Ez Kol Magei Feisai El Libcho, all my plagues, Kol Magei Feisai, now you get it. This is really it. Kol Magei Feisai. What does it mean? Kol Magei Feisai. Borod is one of ten. Well, why Kol Magei Feisai? So comes on Rashi. Rashi says it's a shver Rashi. Rashi says Lomadu. From here we learn Shemakas Bechayros Shkulo Kneged Kol Makas. Makas Bechayros. What's Makas Bechayros? We're talking Makas Borod. It was actually mixing Makas Bechayros here. So there's one. The one pshat which is known from the Torah Tamima, he says it was a mistake. It said mem base Makas Borod. The printer thought it was Makas Bechayros. But the Sisra Chum brings a pshat for Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam de Olion. So I don't know whether it's the same Rabbeinu Tam, but Rabbeinu Tam says it's not Makas Bechayros, Makas Bikurois, because the pasuk says later which crops were affected by the Borod, hapishto vasoiro nukasa, those which are already ripe, they were fully grown, they got demolished by the Borod. But those which only weren't grown weren't so fully developed, they weren't. So Makas Bikurois is the plague which affected the ripened crop. Makas Bikurois, not Makas Bechayros, it's read Makas Bikurois. Oh, so Rashi is telling you, Kiba Pama Zois Anishalech is Kol Magei Feisai El Libcho, Lomadnu Mikan, Shemakas Bikurois Shkulo Kneged Kol HaMakas. Borod corresponds, is that all the Makas. Something to that, Borod, punk Borod. I mean, you know, you ask me, which Makas would you prefer? I mean, all the that's the Makas. And I say, a plague on your house, as they say. What's well, the Makas? Well, ask a question. There's a contradiction. There's a steerer. Because when the first time Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paroi, Shmuel said, "Mishbo Martel Paroi, Koi Pasha Shmois, Koi Omar Hashem Bini Bechay Yisrael, VaOmar Eilecha Shalaches Bini VeYavdeni, VaTzmoin LeShalchay, Hinei Anoich Heirig Es Bincha Bechirecha." I'm going to kill your firstborn. The Rashi already is puzzled by, why didn't he say, if you don't let my children go, you'll get dumped for their kid, why dafka Makas Bechayros? So Rashi says in Pashas Shmois, he maka achreina, that's the last maka, ubo hisro tchila, he warned him with this first, b'bnei shikosha, this was the worst one. So Rashi, you know why, you know, you want to turn the extreme, you know what's going to happen, you're going to get Makas Bechayros, and that's the worst one. So, fact number four, Farsh Maske Kasha, it's got a contradiction. Which is worse? Is Borod here? Rashi says Shkulo Makas Bikurois Kneged Kol HaMakas, and here Rashi says Kosher the Makas Bechayros is the worst one. As they, that's what the Farshim ask. So, some of them want to say some of them want to say that Shkulo Makas Kneged Kol HaKulam is as worse as all those till now. Of the seven till now, this is the worst. Lavada Makas Bechayros is the worst. Not so Gishmak. So, at least I think we're allowed to try and suggest a different answer. Behemoth, we find something else by Borod. We find Paro's reaction to Borod, the whole time, Paro's been saying, the first five Makas, Paro's saying, no, I'm not letting them go. They know there's, and even after the first five, Akshboch hardened his heart, but there's no sign of capitulation after each Makkah, still Borod. What happened to Borod? After the Makkah came, they suffered it, Pasuk says, "Vayishlach paroi vayikol Moshe olari vayem aleim chotosi hapar Hashem atzadik vani vami yorshoy." The first time, Paro's, before he said, "Paps, you can go," he never said, "I've done anything wrong." After Borod convinced him somehow, "Chotosi hapar Hashem atzadik vani vami yorshoy, I've done wrong." Except vayach ben Hashem eslibak shmochi kaidoli hardens up. This is the first time. Borod did something to Paro more than the other Max. What was it? What was there in Borod that changed Paro? It affected Paro in some way more than all the other Makas. There's another chiddush by Borod. You see, this is the uniqueness of Makas Borod. There's another thing which is written by only by Borod. This is the only Makka, and as opposed to all the other Makas. Pasuk says that when Moshe had warned Paro about the Borod, then he comes along with a pasuk like this: "V'yato." Now that I've told you it's going to be Borod, "Shlach ha'ezes miknecha, miskol ha'shechana b'or," gather in all your cattle from the field, because "kol ha'odom v'abehimu ha'shehi motzeh v'asodeh v'lo yosef ha'baiso," all those things which are left in the field, "v'yard aleim ha'borod v'meisu," they'll be left in the, they'll die. So Paro is given advance warning. So not only is he given advance warning, he's given an idea, advice, how to protect himself from the Makkah. By no other Makkah do you find this. No, Paro, if you don't want to avoid the frogs, go lock yourself in the bathroom or something. Doesn't say anything, this time he'll bring all your... Well, and the Ramban says, well, why Taki was he given this sort of something to help him? So for the Ramban, "V'hoysoha itza hazois bechemlas Hashem, Hashem ad rachbonus," it says, "ki makas borod lo yisholchu rak lahashkas yivula oretz." The purpose of Borod wasn't to kill people. It was to destroy the Ketuah. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paro, "Shmuel told him, you know what? You can protect yourself. Don't stay outside. We're not out to get you at the moment. We're out. This is against the Ketuah in the fields." "V'le'al adam al kein yoyre chatoim badorech latzilom mimeda." Shmuel wants to guide away. He wants to make it easier to guide them. Okay, so they were given advance, Hashemach very kindly, with big rachbonus, told Paroi that, you are not the target, therefore you can avoid this, come inside. And so the Mefarshim ask Akasha, the Pasuk says earlier on, that the Shchin, which came the previous Makkah, went on the Odom Ubab Hema. So Rashi asked the Kashim, "Im Tamer, Ma'ayin Ha'lem Behemoth? Where did they get animals from? They all died in the Deva. There were no animals. Where did they get animals from?" "V'al Kvanema, V'yomos Kol Miknim Mitzrayim." Elo, says Rashi, this is Rashi's Chiddush, which I think Rabban argues with, "Lo Nigzura Gzeira Ela Al Oison Shebasodos." Just like Borod only affected those things which are left out, so also the Deva, this pestilence, this virus, whatever it was, only affected those which are left out. If you took the animals inside, into your house, Elo, then nothing would happen. Hayoreh is the pasuk. Taka Hayoreh is the Devar Hashem. Heinis, the Rashi says, just like by Borod, Hayoreh is the Devar Hashem brought in the animals and whatever. So it was by Devar as well. Hayoreh is the Devar Hashem. Heinis says b'kneil abatim. That's what they did. Actually, I saw some of Farshim say this is all part of the Makkah. If you've got to live, if you want to avoid your animals dying, you've got to bring the animals into your house. No, leave them outside. These mitzvim, on top of everything else, got to live for a week together with their animals. I'm sure that must be very, 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 very comfortable. But anyway, that was all part of it. So the Farshim asked Akasha, so if by Makkah's Borod, Moshe Rabbeinu very kindly informed Paro, if you want to avoid the Makkah, bring in your animals. So why did he do that by Deva as well? Why not by Deva? The Deva also only applied to animals in the field. Could have given the same advice, exactly the same thing. This is what Mefarshim ask.
How could animals left?
Sorry?
How could there was any animals left after?
Because because the Yoris Devashem took them in, Taka. So the Yoris Devashem, it only affected those which are outside.
After Deva
as well. That's actually, even by Deva, that's a Chiddush in Rashi. The Deva also only applied to those which are outside, not those which are inside. Right. So let's go. So these are the problems which we have to solve with Borod. So as we've said, the expression which was used in the warning of Borod, "I'm sending all my plagues against you." Kol magefesai. So what's stuck in the chat? So Chaim HaKadosh writes like this. Hanocha Beinai, I think the pshat is that this makkah, ki b'emtzos makkah zu yata niboy l'hovin u'l'hargish, this was the parish understand the magefa shehevi olav Hashem, that everything, that this is from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Why? Because Pari, as we know, was a mechashif, kishuf, chartumim. No, they were into this type of thing. And even though the chartumim declared after makas kinim, etzba elekimhi, and therefore they saw the Rebbeinu Shel Olam after kinim, but he says, Pari wasn't convinced. He says, look, perhaps Moshe is more proficient chartum than I am. Perhaps, you know, he's got a higher level, he's passed higher exams, he's more advanced in his witchcraft or whatever. That he still wasn't convinced that it was the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It's all hocus pocus. Till it came to Borod. What was Borod? L'zeh omay lov Hashem. Ki bapam azoy, so this makkah, through this makkah which I'm going to bring, Teda, this will confirm beyond any shadow of doubt, Shiloim Maisa Kishuf Hashem Eivor, and a Maisa Lekim. This will absolutely, there's no way you can live through Borod and say Kishuf. Impossible. That's why Hinei Anochi Anishalech Kol Magrifei Sayal Libcho Ki Beroischo Maka Niflo Hashem Yecheles Shedim Kishuf Lassens. No Kishuf can perform something like Borod. Afnu Doima the Doima. This is the Shalech is called Magifah Libcha. So obviously the question is, so what was then Borod? You look at it from our point of view, all the Makkas were Nisim. What were the particular Nisim in Borod which we're told this absolutely confirmed this could only be the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? So let's try and examine Makkas Borod. The first thing is, what was Borod? What did it look like? You know, you see this picture I've got. It looks like something like a comet or something. You know, with a stone, with a tail, with a bit of fire coming out. Is that what it looked like? What did the Borod look like? So the pasuk says when it describes the Borod, Vahi Borod ve'esh mislakachas b'toicha Borod. The fire was inside the Borod. So what does that mean? So it doesn't sound very much like a comet, because by the comet the fire is not inside the it's behind it. So Bemis in Ksava Kabbalah, the Ksava Kabbalah writes, the Borod was Kidmus Lantern. It looked like it was an ice box, and inside there was a fire burning. It was like a lantern. Vo'esh mislakachas b'toich ha-borod. That's what it was. So absolutely, no one's ever seen anything like this in their lives. Not to mention the fact that it comes down from Shemaim. There is actually, I did find later, the Sisra Chom brings one Madome, brings Medayik Chazal, that it was taka something with a fire at the end, and he worries about what's the Pshat B'Teich. So there's a difference of opinion. Some say it was B'Teich HaBorot, some say it was behind the Borot. And Rashi says, Nes B'Teich Nes Hoyo. What do you mean? Because he says, the Pshat is, because you've got the ice inside the fire. So why didn't the fire melt the ice? One less. And number two, why didn't the dampness of the ice extinguish the fire? So nes b'teich nes. Two nisim. So v'lasis ratzayin kainach osu shalom b'neim, and also fill the will of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam made shalom. The eish and the mayim made shalom. Eish mislakachas b'teich ha-borod. That was the borod. So it was something which had never been seen before. Furthermore, Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro that when is the Borod going to come? Hineni mamti ko'es mocha Borod kovid mo'id asher lehoyo komoyu b'Mitzrayim leminayim hivosla va'ad oto. From the what's that ko'es mocha? This time tomorrow, says Rashi, ko'es hazois lemocha sarat leisrita b'ko'es. They made a scratch on the wall. Lemocha shetakia chamo. When the sun comes round to this place, Yair Habala. This time tomorrow, when the sun comes round to here, that's when it'll come. So the Ben Yosef writes, he says, when it hails, there's no sun, it's cloudy. That's where the hail comes from. So what do you mean when the sun comes round to here? When the sun comes down to here, how will you know where the sun is? It's cloudy. He says, Elomai, from here's Mukhar Harashi, and the Borod came down from the blue sky. It was a blue sky, the sun was shining, and the Borod came down. So it's pinniplois. It's absolute pinniplois. You've got a blue sky. You've got these funny lantern things, ice. It's nes b'teich nes. I saw the Kliyoka taka, this doesn't bring the beer. Obviously, Kliyoka says that when it was born, it was dark. It was dark. It says, of course, it's not the stomach came down, it must have been clouds. Rashi says that the Kreis Macha, unless you say he made a mark, and when the sun came there, then all of a sudden the clouds came and it came. The Ber Yosef says it came down from the blue sky. So we've got three absolutely out of the ordinary things by Borod. Firstly, the actual tzura, the form of the Borod, and the fact that it came down from the blue sky, and the Nespetech Nes, the Eish and the mind together. So no wonder that's the Piat Erechaim HaKodesh, Kol Magefei Sai El Libcha. This is something where even Pari will have to agree. This Kishav can't do. There are limits to Kishav. Even Pari agree, however proficient you are in Kishav, but this is something we just way beyond anyone, whatever anyone's seen before. That was the Pili Plois of Borod. But it's interesting, there's another thing which you find by Borod. The Pasuk says, Ki bapam hazois, hanishelech es kol magefeisai el libcho. I'm going to send against your heart. I mean against your heart. I mean against your heart. I mean to get a heart attack. What's El Libcha? What do you mean El Libcha? You don't find out also about any of the other matters. No, the chat is like this. It's well known. The Kasha, which is already the Rambam asked the Kasha, Rambam, Ramban, others, all asked the Kasha, that we know the first five matters, Paroi, with his own Bechira, he decided, he wasn't impressed by the Makkah, he stood his ground. After the first five Makkahs, from number six on, then, Vayachbed Hashem Esim, he would have capitulated, he was ready to give it, he had enough. But Vayachbed Hashem Esim, why, as the Pasuk says, Ani Akshem Slei Paroi, L'man Shisi Oysai Sai Eila Bekebo, Rashi says, because when the Goyim, Duaveh, Shpoch, wants to find the opportunity of being married by Oysai Sai Eila Bekebo, he saw the Yerol, the Klai Sai should learn, Yisai Nisai Muna, etc., the Klai Sai should see the Yecheles Hashem, the ability of the Ben Hashem, it should bring Klai Sai closer, and also the Yerol Mitzrayim, Kiani Hashem. So, Akshmoch hardened his heart. The Beis Halevi explains in his own Mahalach, and Adosh Yitzchak and Sepurna writes the same thing. Another explanation: why did Akshmoch harden? Why did Akshmoch deny Paroi his Bechira after the first five Makkos? So he says that Adosh Yitzchak and Sepurna, that the Beis Halevi did not want, the Beis Halevi wanted Paroi to come to some level of emunah, of recognition that he's done something wrong. Not that he should just fold under the pressure. Didn't want you can give someone pection. Okay, shine. But he doesn't agree that anything wrong. Okay, I can't. I agree you're stronger than me. Okay? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that Paroi should come to this, to his own hakar that I have done wrong. The Yodu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem. He wanted them to be makkah as well. Therefore, he put on the pressure of the Makkos. After having put on the pressure of the Makkos, Paroi was ready to capitulate, not out of recognition, the Pasha, because he couldn't take it anymore. That's not what the Bereshim wanted. Therefore, the Bereshim, to keep the balance, the Bereshim said, okay, the Bereshim could measure this, obviously, if I see that Paroi is ready to capitulate, but only from the pressure of the Makkos, then Zer Lu'umma Zer, I'm going to harden his heart to give him the ability and the willpower to withstand the Makkos until he comes to a true recognition. That's the Vayachbed Hashem Esim. That he should recognize himself. So, comes out like this. Be'emes, the Makkos which put pressure on Paroi, but on the other, they've got this chisaron that they, perhaps it'll make Paroi capitulate from the pressure, which is not what the Moshe wants. So the Bereshit says, when it comes to Borod, this is going to be a different type of Makkah. This is a Makkah, and it's called Makkah El Libcho. I'm going to talk to your heart, but Paroi, you go inside. Shlach Reizes Mikdecho. Go inside, sit next to the window, open the curtains, sit down on your chair, and watch. I don't want anyone to get hurt here. There should be no, of course, the tour, the food in the field will get damaged. Not all of it. Apishta Basayid Nukasa. Sit inside. Borod is an exhibition Makkah. Borod is for you to see. You haven't been convinced till now. I want you to watch, look at the pili plois of Borod. I'm talking to your heart now. No pech. I'm not giving you pech now. Pech you've had. Pech. I can overpower with pech anytime. No problem. That's not what I want. I want you to see I want you to understand what you're up against. And you should say, as Paro said, and Paro had a respondent, the way the Mishnah, Chatosi Apam, Hashem HaTzadik, that this is the first time you hear this time, after Paro said, Mi Hashem HaShe'esh HaMekailim, now he's changed his tune. He's come to the recognition. What did it, Makas Borod? Because there was very much less pressure. I wouldn't say no pressure, because after all, the tour was destroyed, but there was much less pressure in Makas Borod than the other Makas. So Paro sits by the window, all of them sit, open the curtains, Hayoris Deva Hashem, and watch. And when you're not under pressure, and you see the Pili Plois, and Shalechas Kol Magefei Sai El Libcha, now you will see that this is against your heart. I'm talking to you, Paro, talking to your heart. Do you not see the Hashem, who the Baruch Shalem is, and who you're enslaving, you're going against my will? This is what Makas Baron was all about. And this is what makes it different to all the other Makas. All the other Makas were Biyasodo pressure. Severe pressure. Borod was not that same degree of pressure, but it was to, and in Moshelech's got a libcha, speaking to your heart, Paro, just look what the Boshem can do. If so, we can understand why Paro was advised by the Boshem, by Makas Borod, taking his animals, and not by Makas Deva. Because the purpose of Makas Deva was to kill all the animals. No, he's telling him to avoid it. You know what, if you take all the animals in, then no one will die. That's not the point is they should die. So the Maka only came against those animals, but he wasn't advised or recommended to take them in. That's not the point. The point is they should die. So if he takes them in, they'll survive. Okay, but we're not going to help him to avoid the Maka. By borrowing the Rebbe as an interest, I do not want you to get hurt. I don't want any people to get hurt. I don't want animals to get killed. I want you to see. I want you to be zbainin. I want you to think. I want you to realize what's going on. And that's why there they were told to take everything in so that you should be able to look and come to the true akara, which he did. But then the Moshe obviously wasn't happy with this level. It's still vayachad Hashem asimai. Moshe felt still wasn't what he wanted, and therefore he hardened his heart again. So if so, Rashi says, Shkulo makas bikurois keneged kala makas. A makas b'choyrois. It's a kosher. Is the dera hini aleichet bincho b'cheirecho. So which is the most severe makas? We have this contradiction. It depends what aspect of the makas we're talking about. If we're talking about which was the most severe punishment, which makas the Mitzrayim suffer from the most, no question about makas b'choyrois. Ein b'ayis v'shein shal meis. No question about it. He kosher. Im moin atel shaleach asami, hini anei chayegas bincha b'chirecho, they suffered the most makas b'chayes. No question. So what does Rashi mean? Shkula makas b'kureis k'negi kala makas. What Rashi means is like this. When we're talking in terms of Paro achieving hakara in the Bnei Yisraelim, which makas did the most for him? It didn't complete the job, but which was the turning point when Paro began to see the truth? It wasn't complete. That's why Ayach Hashem is Libay. Shkula Makas Borok Nekolav. There was very much less pressure, and he could sit in his armchair and he could spectate. He could look through and watch the exhibition outside, the fantastic Borok all the way with it. And that's why the Rashi says Shkula. It's not. Rashi doesn't say it's more severe. It's Shkula. It's worth all the other Makas because what all the other Makas didn't achieve, Borod did achieve. Because Paro's reaction to Borod was different to his reaction to all the other Makas. The Emes, when we talk about all the Makas and their effect, and as we know, the Ramban writes, the Yesod of the Emuna, our Emuna, comes to see Ani Hashem Elokim Asher Tzeis Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, all the mitzvahs, Zecheli Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why does Yetzias Mitzrayim, we know the Boshim created the world, why does Ani Hashem Elokim Asher Tzeis Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, why do we pay such a great stress on the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim? So Yisrael Salanta used to explain, there was once a story with Yisrael Salanta. He used to travel around, Josh of Shurim, wherever, and he always stayed at a certain boarding house, a certain inn. And when he came once to this inn, he realized the level of Yiddishkeit, of Ehrlichkeit of the Balabas had changed. You know, there's something different. You know, before it had been Ehrlich, Yiddish, being fine, and now it seems it's changed. You know, it wasn't the same. You know, you could see something happened. So he says to him, what happened? You know, I can see that, you know, your attitudes have changed. Well, what happened to you? He said, I'll tell you the truth. That I had somebody in here a couple of weeks ago, and he saw that I was putting on tefillin or whatever. doing mitzvahs. And he said to me, he said, what are you doing? I said, what are you doing that for? He says, you know, what else is saying the Torah? You can't eat chazal. Look, I'll take a stick of chazal and I'll eat it. And what's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen. Fine. So it had an effect. Had an effect. No, it dented my emunah. Dented my emunah. So just then, Rabbi Saul, the daughter of the balabas, the innkeeper, came in carrying a musical instrument. So he says, where have you been? So she's been to a violin lesson, whatever, her music lesson. So the father, very proud, says she's very proficient. She can play well, this symphony and that concert. You know, she's very good. She's playing this and playing that concert, this concert. So Bissau says, yeah, really, what can she play? So he says, she can play this and that. I don't believe it. So she should play it for me now. I don't believe it. A young girl can play this. She should play it for me now. So the father said to the daughter, would you pay for it? So she says, no, I'm not pay for anybody, whoever wants. When the audience is right, the time is right, then I play. I don't just pay for Tom, Dick and Harry. So well, I don't believe you can do it then. I don't believe it. So she looks, takes out, I've got a certificate. You know, she's passed the exam, I've got a certificate. You know, I don't have to do it, I can prove the certificate. He said to the father, you hear? You see, as a rabbi himself writes, any apikurit, any person of merchant doesn't show him the benefit of nisim, let him see that straight away the schar and the einish. Merchant's got his ways and means of doing things. His certificate is his sis mitzray. The schar and the einish, we learn his sis mitzray. Pari, you listen, you don't listen, pech. You do listen, it's fine. That's the certificate. That's how the merchant runs the world. That's, you know, now we know. So I don't see the merchant guy's way for me. You don't see it. Olam is narrow, it's hidden, you can't see it now. It's still there, but you can't see it. How do you know it happens in Sis Mitzrayim? So the Yisoid of Emunah V'Yid is in Sis Mitzrayim. That gives a Yid an Emunah in Ani Hashem, the merchant created the world, Ani Hashem b'kerev ha'aretz, hashgacha pratis, a komoini b'chol ha'aretz, the abilities of Ani Shalem, and the Ebbis, when a person internalizes all the Yisoidus Emunah, especially Ani Hashem, be careful, Oretz, the Ashgacha Pratis, it can change a person's life. It can become a different person in his daily dealings. And because end with a story which I read many years ago. I think Rabbi Krohn Zolzayin made it famous already, but it was written the first time about 25 years ago when Rabbi Shvadron was nifter. The Kol HaTorah gave out a supplement about Rabbi Shvadron, and there they write a Gevaldik Maisa. I think Rabbi Krohn's one of the books, but it's written there. I don't know whether it's the same. But anyway, the Maisa goes like this. He says that there was a tragic story of a bacha who came from not such a frum family, who went and transferred to a frum yeshiva, a proper yeshiva, Itzri Chadera. And one Friday afternoon, they went for a swim in Haifa, that's not far, they went to the coast, went swimming, and Le'aleinu didn't return. Drowned, Le'aleinu. So by the family, it was a big kasha. He used to go every week before he became frum, and nothing happened. Now he became a bentoy, became frum. This is what happened. Zub toyo, it was a schadik. It was a big kasha. They couldn't take it. So there was a big hesped. Rav Shon Shadron spoke, and also Rav Sal Jolti, who used to be one of the Rav Roshi in Yerushalayim. So Rav Shon got up to speak. He said, "I'm reminded of a story referring to the father-in-law of Rabbi Sal Jolti, who's a kid from Chicago called Mr. Wetzler. You're Rabbi Achmiel Wetzler. That's what the Maisel. So this Rabbi Achmiel Wetzler lived in Chicago in the 1920s. And every year he used to come Meshulach Hametz Yisrael, or Rav Valk or something, or his name Vilk Valk, whatever. And he used to come every year, and he used to collect Mustama. And he used to speak about coming to long before the Medina, come to live and to be Chazik the Yishuv Hametz Yisrael. And this Mr. Wexler was a man of means, he got very excited by it. So he said, I'll come in, he'll investigate the perhaps when he comes to go traveling, he'll look into it. And so it was in Adar Tofresh Pei Test, February 1929. He traveled to Israel. He looked at it, took his son, his 16-year-old son Yaakov Wexler, with him. And he went looking for business opportunities, whatever, transferring. So they came, one of the people came to Chevron. And they went into the yeshiva, Yeshiva's Chevron Bechevron. And there his son, he met a chava, an American boy who was also learning in Hebrew. And they were talking, and so he came up to his father, "I want to stay, Danny, can I stay?" "He wants to stay." "Nashra Choshka, but he wants to stay." Father's delighted, "Of course, you can stay, fine." So his son stayed, Mr. Wechter went around, he went back to America. Four or five months later, Menachem of July 1929, was the infamous pogrom in Hebron, Le'aleinu, 70, 80, even Bochrim, Yunglait, Bleitera, other people were murdered by the Arabs. And amongst them were this 16-year-old Yaakov Wexler, Shem Yim Kedomah. So this, when Rav Valk heard about it, He thought, I can't go back to Chicago. You know, I was the one who persuaded to go. I can't shut off here to Chicago. He didn't go to Chicago. Went to New York. Didn't go to Chicago. Couldn't go. He couldn't face Chicago. So, but a couple of years later, he's walking in the streets of New York, this Mr. Rabbavak, and he meets Mr. Wexler from Chicago, New York, and Manhattan, walking down, and says, Shalom Aleichem, why don't you come to Chicago? I don't see you anymore. Why don't you come? He starts saying, bah, 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 bah. He says, why don't you come? Why don't you come? So he says, tell you the truth. I'm too embarrassed to come. I was the one who, persuaded you to... So he says, you know, I'll tell you something. Shkoyach. What do you mean? Shkoyach. Shkoyach. He says, you know, my son, Yaakov Wexler, lived for 16 years, which means when he was born, the worship gave him 16 years. If he would have stayed in America, say he would have had an accident, he would have become not well, something would have happened, 16 years. As it happened, you persuaded me to go to Israel, he went to Heaven, he became a Bentayer, he was Niftar Kiddush Hashem, what could be better? He's a Bentayer, Niftar Kiddush Hashem, given that he only had 16 years, Ishtoyach, Skubtaich Eishikayach. So, there's a PS to the story, which they write there, that some years later, when Rabbi Sal Zsolti, he was Niftar first, when his Rebbe was Niftar, so the sons of Rabbi Sal Zsolti was sitting Shiva. So sitting Shiva in the house, the fourth floor in Mishraim somewhere, and they came up into the Shiva. It's an old man supported on two sides by two Einiklach, walking, came into the dinner who it was. So they asked him who he is. So he told him, so I want to say, you don't know who I am, but all these years I wanted to, perhaps you could tell me. He says, you know, when your uncle, Yaakov Wexler, is the uncle of the Bissal Jotif children, your uncle, he was killed in the pogrom in Hebron. He said, I was the bocher that persuaded him to stay. And all these years, be eating me up. And I felt so guilty. I survived. I was away that Shabbos or whatever, and I felt so bad. It was all because of me. So what did your Zayda, Mr. Wexler, say? So they'd just been by the Hesped Chadar a short time before. So you know what he would have said? He would have said Ishikayach. Ishikayach. That's the when a person lives. That's the Tzadik Bemunosa Yichya. We all have Emunah, but to live with the Emunah. You know, in nowadays, all of us, we're probably all guilty of this. I'm guilty of it. I mean, we have the blame game. You know, whenever something goes wrong, you blame. Blame this, you blame that. You know, you blame the spouse, blame the children, blame the children. We blame. It was blame. The person who lives, takes the limudim from these parashis, and Hashem be care for oretz. Whatever happens, happens, it's from the Bnei Shleim. And whatever someone else does to me, even though they shouldn't have done it, it's that's the hashgacha. They shouldn't have done it, but as far as I'm concerned, that it can change a person's life, a change of interpersonal relations. We should help Taka, we should be Zeicha, to take these Libudim from Ani Hashem and Yeshem Bekev Oretz, Eini Son, Gungolim, Elabis, Chusa, Emunah, we should be Zeicha, B'meir of Yomim.